Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. It's Rose, Rose Colombo, and it's a beautiful day here on the West Coast. And it is August 11, 8/11/21. Sounds like some good numbers to play over in Vegas, right? I don't know if we can even travel anymore. I think we're so restricted now that everybody's confused. Can we go outside? Can we gather? Can we go to a movie? Can we shop? Do we have to take a mask? It goes on and on and on, all these restrictions that are in violation of our United States constitutional rights and our right to freedom, liberty, and all rights that have to do with human rights. And in fact, it has to do with the necessities of life to make us happy, that we have the right to work because we can't depend on the government to send us, what, $2,000 maybe in a couple of years to survive on, making us their slaves, so that when everything's lifted and people can go back to work, people are now homeless because they owe back rent, back mortgage, and they can't come up with it. So they're going to be evicted while they pour millions of people across our borders, scattering them around our cities with COVID and measles. I bet you didn't even know we had a measles outbreak. Yes, we do. So right in the middle of a pandemic, they bring in people with measles on top of it all. So why not? I mean, everybody join the party because that's called collectivism. Did you know that? Yes, everybody's going to live in the USA. Just come on in, find a space, set up a no-go zone, whatever you want to do. Steal our land, our homeland. Hey, Americans come last now. So that's the way it is, and you have to keep a sense of humor about it because otherwise you would just go crazy. So just keep a sense of humor, stay vigilant, and do the best you can to enjoy your life. Like when you're not wearing a mask, deep breathing really helps, you know. Helps to keep the body healthy. It actually helps every part of your body to breathe in fresh oxygen. And breathing in fresh oxygen and exhaling carbon monoxide, do you know what that does for your body? It is not only does it help, it is needed to keep your cells healthy, your brain healthy and alert, to keep your organs healthy. Your entire body and mind is dependent on the God-given fresh oxygen, fresh air that we breathe into our bodies and then exhale the carbon monoxide. And if you got to sneeze or you cough, you use a Kleenex, you use your sleeve, you use your hand, then you wash your hands, right? I mean, we've done this since, what, 245 years at least in America. And if you watch the old movies, they were doing it back then too. So it's really important to deep breathe and exhale. You're going to clear the mind. You're going to keep the cells healthy. And what does all that do? It keeps your immune system healthy because guess what? Doctors online who are concerned about the immune system say that we have 22 trillion viruses in our bodies. So we can never get rid of viruses. Birds have viruses. Animals have viruses. Humans have viruses, always have, always will. So we can't get rid of them. So God created the immune system. Fresh air, oxygen, cells, brain, organs, and it all stays healthy by breathing in that oxygen of fresh air. And the masks, they actually diminish the oxygen. And that's not good because it creates frustration and anger and loss of focus. It could create fainting. In the heat, it could actually cause death. Or if you're driving and you need to focus or you're a pilot. I mean, and it also, over long term, can also cause tooth decay, according to the Dental Association, as well as gum disease, which then gets into your lungs, and then you're going to die anyway. So it's really a crazy time, isn't it? But anyway, like I said, we have to keep a sense of humor. So I invited the incredible Esther Perlman to return to our show because Columbo Chronicles, because she's fabulous, and she's been a guest before. She's written probably at least 10 books, and very lively books. And she has written a book, speaking of being happy and looking at the bright side of life, no matter what's going on around us. She wrote a book called Looking at the Bright Side Mostly, and it's personal information about her career and her family. And it's a follow-up to her highly successful tome, It's Not Easy Being a Woman. Don't we all know that? It is not easy being a woman. Isn't that the truth? And she's going to share some information about her personal life and how it is difficult for a woman to juggle career and family, keep a sense of humor and laughter, and do things that you love to do, like paint, which she does. She's an artist. She's a public speaker. She's been featured in newspapers, and she's also had her work shown at art shows. So she's a very, very busy lady as well. And so Looking at the Bright Side Mostly, it's her 11th literary book. And so she's a very funny lady and a gifted painter as well. So she will be joining us in just a little bit. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to take you to Benson, Arizona, where we are going to visit with the Horseshoe Cafe. Because if you want a great piece of homemade pie or any type of dessert or excellent home-cooked food, that's the place to go. It's a 100-year-old landmark restaurant, and they preserved the wonderful paintings that have been there by the original painter, and they do take care of it and preserve it. And you, it's so fun to go in there. They have the largest illuminated horseshoe light across the restaurant. It's a really fun place to be. So we'll be back in just a minute on Columbo Chronicles Live.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe. You will love it.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up, because in just a little bit we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts with our very special guest. But first, I came across an article I thought was of interest, and it's hot off the press, and it's by the Beltway. And it says, alert, Soros and Gates to buy COVID pandemic starter. This is a threat to national security and economic stability. It also says, on Saturday, the CDC announced that PCR tests will soon no longer be available for emergency use to determine whether individuals have contracted COVID-19 and seem to tacitly admit that the tests are unable to differentiate between COVID and influenza viruses. Well, that's because the symptoms are nearly exactly the same, whether it's pneumonia, COPD, or the flu, or some other respiratory ailment. Many of National Files readers noted that the development came less than 1 week after Bill Gates and George Soros joint teams announced their intention to buy a $41 billion COVID-19 test manufacturer based in the United Kingdom, not even in the United States. As National File reported, the CDC declared that it will withdraw its emergency use application for the controversial PCR test on December 31, 2021, and is urging clinics and hospitals around the country to immediately begin the process of using new tools better able to facilitate detection and differentiate COVID-2 from influenza. That's going to be tough because the symptoms are nearly exactly the same, because such assays can facilitate continued testing for both influenza and SARS and can save time and resources as we head into the influenza season. It appears clinics will have a new choice for COVID-19 tests by time the PCR tests are phased out. Mologic, a company in the United Kingdom that manufactures COVID-19 tests and is expected to be purchased by a new initiative run by George Soros and Bill Gates, Global Access Health. So in other words, George Soros and Bill Gates and Gavi are going to control your health. And now you must feel 100% better than you did before you tuned into Colombo Chronicles Live. So on that note, we're going to turn to something happy and very happy in the world of authors and experts. And we're going to talk to our very special return guest, Esther Perlman, who does have a sense of humor. And she has her 10 books behind her and the latest, Looking at the Bright Side Mostly. So why don't we just get started, and let's say hello to Esther Perlman. Hi, Esther. How are you?
Oh, great. I just had so many things happening at one time. I had a Zoom going on. It was supposed to be from 10 to 12, and I had to leave after half an hour. And then I have the electrician here fixing, everything went out, the internet, and I'm hoping the phone doesn't go out. It's very important to talk to you. And he said, well, I'm going to go in the box in the garage, and you have to get down. So I have a three-level townhouse. I went down this, and then I thought, well, I'll go in the car and then open the garage door. And then I thought, oh, I better just do it myself. I walked over there, and this was all like 5 minutes ago. and then he said, well, I'll call you back at 12:30. I said, no, I'm going to be on the radio. Don't call about, 10 to 1. He said, okay. So I'm hoping that, you know, because everything that we have is like on the same spectrum, and it's radio, you know, the TV and the computer and the telephone, and you never know, you know, everything happens at once, and you got to just go with the flow, right?
You got to go with the flow. The show must go on no matter what, and our lives must go on no matter what. And it's so funny when you think about it, because we have no idea, you know, before somebody goes on the air, whether it's, you know, on television or whatever, or on social media, and it's live, what could possibly go wrong? Right at that exact moment that you're supposed to be on the air.
And I thought I'd drink one of these kombucha drinks to pep me up, and I couldn't open the bottle. So I saw the next-door neighbor was pounding on their door, and I thought, oh, my God, it's going to be making noise for you. And so I went over there, and I asked them to open my bottle. And the new owner was going to he opened the door. He opened the bottle for me. And so it was nice meeting him, and he again, and because he only comes out once or twice a year, and then so he said he bought that place for his daughter, so it'll be nice to see his daughter living there once in a while. That's what people do, you know. They don't live very long here; they just move, or they go and come back, and so you really don't know who your neighbors are anymore.
No, you really don't. And you live in Santa Monica, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's really quite nice. When they were going to have the, in May of last year, you know, I thought, oh, I'll walk along and help the demonstrators, because they were walking down the street near where I live. And I saw on the radio, I mean, on TV, you know, they had messed up some, in the Fairfax area. And I thought, oh, my God, well, maybe they're going to mess up Santa Monica. And so I thought, well, I'll go out there and march with them. Then I thought, oh, I better not. And so thank God I didn't. So I sat there in the park and watched them going by. And sure enough, they messed up 3rd Street Promenade. Terrible. And they went into the mall and everything. And it's really, you know, frightening. You know, you can't even think about a negative things. If you're going to go out and get the cleaners, you know, I mean, these are simple little errands, grocery shopping, get some gas, and that's about all, you know, and then go to the movies now. It's a big deal.
Everything's a big deal now. I mean, you know, it's like a flu has taken over our lives and our freedom and our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And so we have to, you know, work around it and through it so that we can have as much happiness in our lives. And Italians, we're, you know, we always laugh at life anyway. We laugh at ourselves. We laugh at everybody else.
I think that's why we get along. Jews and Italians, they get along real good.
They do.
Yeah,
mean,
well, the
because,
you know, when I walk down the park, and then I see people with dogs. So, you know, I do art. So I ask them if I could take a picture. Sometimes I don't ask them. So, you know, I take pictures of them, and then I get to talk to them, and then I know where they're living nearby and stuff. And people with dogs are usually very polite and friendly. But one time in front of my house, there was the cutest twins in two different strollers with a dog and the mother, and I said, can I take a picture? And she said, no.
Oh.
And that was kind of disappointing. So I said, well, that would have been a great picture with the twins and the strollers and the dog and the young woman. But you never can tell, you know, who's going to be friendly and who's not. But, you know, people with dogs, that's how everybody's getting their exercise. And if they don't have a loved one at home, they have a dog and then just pet the dog all day.
I know my daughter brought her friend's dog home, and he was the cutest. I mean, I like animals and I like dogs and everything, but I don't want to take care of one. But she brought this little dog home, and he was the cutest, sweetest dog in the world. And I wanted to keep it.
What kind of dog was it?
We had to return him. Oh, I can't remember, but he was a small dog, but he had, he's one of those dogs that has a lot of curly hair, and then they have to shave him in the summertime. But he was like a miniature. Some of them get bigger. Oh, he was so cute. And
yeah, well, I know my son, got two little white huskies, Polka and Pepper and Polka, and so he's going to breed them, you know, not with each other, but I think that'd be hard to do, actually. Set the dog up and have it ready and for the other dog if they, you know, are acceptable to them.
If they fall in love.
When they start breeding.
Lady and the Tramp.
Peggy Lee. I love Peggy Lee. Oh, my God. I'm in a health group where we get to pick a song and everybody listens to whatever song it is. And I'm older, so, you know, I'm doing Peggy Lee and Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. And
hey, my daughter puts Frank Sinatra on. She thinks he's the greatest for relaxation.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, I was looking for Frank Sinatra, and then they had Julio Iglesias with Willie Nelson singing "Of All the Girls I've Known Before," you know that song?
Yeah.
And so I put that on last week and the week, 2 weeks ago, and then last week I put it on because it put on Johnny Carson playing Willie Nelson and singing to Iglesias. And it was so, if you go on Google and look for Johnny Carson doing Willie Nelson and Iglesias, it is so funny. And so they love it.
Oh, every one of those shows, I mean, the young people, if they don't, you know, Google Johnny Carson and all these guests, like, you know, just these famous guests, I mean, his shows were so funny. Robin Williams and all these different people. Oh, my God, you can't stop laughing. It was just fun, clean humor, and it was just so silly that you just can't stop laughing. And
my husband has a comedy class he listens to at Emeritus College on comedy. The guy's name is John Acorn. He was a director and actor. And so he does, talks about one-man shows or women that were funny and, the old Buster Keaton movies, he puts it on. And he makes it so great to be watching his, you know, he like has 150 people on Emeritus College, you know, listening to him because he just has it so great. And then the other class my husband takes is a theater class, where they have all these famous directors, Steven Spielberg, and the documentaries about, you know, how great all these directors were, Lee Grant, and he used to have them on in person, and of course now with everybody doing virtual still. And then I listened to his autobiography class. And so I get to listen to all those people writing about their autobiographies. And
how
one
fun.
Time I was in her class, this one lady, I'm not going to say her name. And she put me in, you know, one of her books, the books. And so, what I would make her do, I would have to write it by hand, print it, and put it every other line because I don't type. And so she'd have to type it up, and I would read it. But so my husband had to leave during her class, her autobiography class, and he said, "Oh, you sit in and take notes." And she saw me and says, "You cannot be in my class." She didn't want me in her class. It was so embarrassing. was like, oh, no, because she remembered me from, you know what happens with the autobiography? Sometimes they'll write about their husbands or wives or whatever, and their wives will be there. And they, you know, it stops them from, you know, writing their true feelings because they really can't get anything, you know, that they want to get off their, you know, their minds directly on the paper without the wife, or, you know, complaining. You're not going to write about that, are you?
Well, so you know, that's what I tell my daughters. I go, write it down, you know, vent on paper. Don't call someone. Don't say anything to somebody. Just write it down and then go back and read it, and you're going to throw it in the trash.
But if you can turn it into something funny, if she could turn it into something funny, that would be great, because that's what humor is about, you know, all the tragedies.
Yeah, that's great.
But,
yeah,
that's
it is. But writing does help vent, you know.
Yeah, that's what I do. I write about all the weird things that happen to me, and it's never a day that doesn't go like today with all this thing going on at the same time. And I thought, oh, my God. And Erwin calls me and says, oh, you didn't call yet. And I said, I did, but and then it didn't go through. So, and then I went, and then when I was talking to the Spectrum guy, and I said, don't call until 10 to 1. And he said, oh, I won't, you know, because I was so
you do find time, though, because you have written 11 great books, and one of those books is your latest, Looking at the Bright Side Mostly. What motivated you to write this particular book? Especially now, you know, when things are so many people are so depressed, but, you know, people like us go, oh, well, let's make the best of this.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, like all the Zooms we had to do for Mother's Day and Father's Day, and then my son wanted, and then my daughter didn't want to do Father's Day. And they said, well, if he didn't have a vaccine, I'm not coming, you know. And then, so they said, well, I'll go outside. If they find a restaurant that has, you know, some tables outside. So I called a week earlier, and I was there for, I said, well, 10 people for 10 chairs for two tables. And they said, okay. So, of course, when we were there, they didn't have those tables or chairs. And then my daughter calls and said, well, is it outside? And I said, no, it's inside in the back. And she said, I'm just staying for half an hour. So then she did come, and she gave a cutest card for my husband. It says, it shows a chipmunk holding nuts in his mouth. And then you open it up and said, we're nuts about you, Daddy.
Oh, that's cute.
Happy Father's Day. Isn't that cute? And then my son, the one that didn't have the shots, he was on the other side of the table. So he brought a big bag that said Happy Father's Day, and he brought stuff for gout. A whole cucumber, a red onion, a garlic, a cherry juice, and a cucumber, and there's crackers at Trader Joe's. I don't know if you're supposed to say names of stores here, but
oh, I love Trader Joe's.
And so that was his Father's Day present. And so, you know, that's how weird it is, you know, with this. But it's true. You don't have to put your makeup on, or you don't have to wear a bra, you know, you can just Zoom and nobody cares. I put a robe, and then I put a nice jacket over my robe, and then, you know. So it can be quick, you know. You don't have to do any driving. So there's some positive things.
I think it's funny because when you look at Zoom, you know, you see these guys and they have their T-shirt on, and then they have a jacket on, so you knew they were in their jeans, so they just threw a jacket on, you know.
That's
I mean,
right.
You and I
yeah.
know that, but, you know, maybe probably most people don't realize it, but I think it's funny, you know, because I've done the
yeah,
same thing.
Yeah, it is.
It's
funny.
Oh, just put a jacket on.
I know. Well, I guess the clothing business must be falling down if people are just wearing their regular old clothes, or, you know. And then and then you think, well, why do I need to buy anything? I just have to look at my closet.
Yeah, I think it's really sad, you know, that, you know, it has hurt the retail business and stores I used to see, you know, that were there forever and ever. When I go back to visit and where I grew up, and I see all these, even an entire shopping center closed down, or even where I live now, there's an entire shopping center, all the small businesses went out. And I think it's so sad and pathetic because, you know, I mean, this whole thing is insane. The whole thing is insane. And I'm like, okay, so there's a 99.6% up to 99.9% cure. I mean, people recover, and there's cures out there, but they won't let you hear about the cures, and they won't let those doctors speak out. They are silenced and censored. It is totally insane.
Well, my problem, one of my problems is I believe everything I see on the internet. So I get all these different herbs and vitamins that they say are going to cure this and cure that and cure that. So what I do is I order them, and I notice that, you know, sometimes I order the same thing I just ordered, you know, a couple months later, but they present it differently. And so it's like, oh, my God, I ordered it.
Okay.
It looks from
them. I think the best thing to do is your D3, your C and zinc, your elderberry, eat berries every single day, you know, oranges, grapefruits, eggs, all these different things that have, you know, help the immune system stay strong. And I put a few drops of colloidal silver in a gallon of water to kill all the germs and bacteria. And there are things that are great to use. I use a Canada Dry soda, and I put it in about a third of it into grape juice or aloe vera pineapple juice, and drink that because it has quinine in it, and that's what HCQ has, is quinine. So I think it all helps, you know, because I just thank God every day, you know, knock on wood, that, you know, I'm okay.
Yeah, well, those are good ideas. I haven't tried those. Well, I buy this detox drinks and then kombucha drink, and then they have chlorophyll in them and aloe vera in them. But those little tiny bottles at Whole Foods, I keep mentioning all these stores, because my publisher told me not to say anything about the names of the stores that I went to. And what am I doing? I'm doing
that. We're saying good things about them.
Yes.
That's where we shop.
And so
hello.
I had to change all the names. In fact, I had to remember what I said in the book so that I remember the name of the wrong store. But,
I am so politically incorrect, Esther Perlman. I mean, I'm just the most politically incorrect person on the planet. So, I mean, they are not going to change me about, you know, trying to say, you know, they and them, and I just he and she. You know,
oh, you wouldn't change the name of the store Well, so I had to do that. And then, because my husband likes to put too much soap in the water when he's washing the dishes, when he washes his dishes. And then it goes into the filter and it gets soapy water. So I go to buy water at Whole Foods, and I'm standing there, and, you know, it's a trick to hold three plastic bottles, and then they all go real quick, and then you've got to move them and take them out, and they spill all over me. And then I carry those 10 bottles home, and then I put them in my dishwasher since I don't use the dishwasher. I figured that if you don't use it in your house, then it won't break.
See, now there's a funny line.
Yes, thank you. So that's, and then, you know, if we don't use a garbage disposal, it won't break. And if we never go in the house, it'll never break. No, but, and then, you know, I have the heater on. And, and we don't turn the air conditioner on because we have trees around. The only thing wrong with the trees is the roots go into the pipes and break the pipes, and then we have leaks. So that's a problem. But since it's not raining.
I love neighborhoods with trees. They're fabulous. You know, because when we were growing up, every neighborhood had trees. Every neighborhood was lined with beautiful trees. And when I go into a neighborhood that has lined with trees, oh, it's just so wonderful to see that. There's nothing
like
nature,
I have
right?
the trees, but they're like they have the palm trees on the sidewalk and big trees in front of the house. And then I'm thinking, oh, I wonder if they have a leak problem. And then one time I was on a street taking these pictures of these wonderful trees, and they had those roots that were in the sidewalk area. And the sidewalk, you know, went up and down so that there would be enough room for their roots. So I said, well, you know, how are you? Because I was watching the guy trimming the roots at the sidewalk. I said, well, How are they going into the person's house? And he said, that's why we trim it, you know, the roots. But if you look underneath, those old trees are 200 years old or something. They have these gorgeous roots underneath. And so I entered a photograph class, a photograph show, which showed the big, gorgeous trees. So when I was out talking to the gardener, and he said, so, oh, everybody's walking their dogs next to on the street because they love, you know, looking at the trees. And
That's so true.
He's got plenty of business.
That's so true because I love looking at the trees, too. I'm just fascinated with really old trees and their roots and the way they grow. And it's just, they're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. And they're so strong. And then they have all these branches, you know. And so, I mean, they're just constantly replenishing. And that's how our earth is. And so that's why I think I like trees so much, because they're constantly... They're creating beauty. They're creating oxygen. They keep replenishing. They renew themselves. I think you know, metaphorically, it's a really good way
what
to
I did in my,
appreciate
what I,
trees.
Yeah, what I did in my patio, I had a plant that wasn't doing that well in my house, so I put the pot next to the two little trees. And I thought it's going to be fine there because it'll be in the shade. It won't get that much sun. And guess what it did? It grew right through the pot, plastic pot, and made this gigantic tree. So then I had three trees next to each other. And so I asked the gardener, I said, well, how old do you think this tree is? Because I've been here 35 years. And he said, well, you can tell if you – make a circle around the tree, and then, and that's an indication, because it must have been a tall tree when they planted it. But, you know, I've had 10 leaks in my townhouse. One time I said to my husband, I said, there's water dripping in, because we have a three-level townhouse. I said, there's water dripping from the ceiling. Or I said, there's water leaking. And he says, oh, forget it, because he's sick of me complaining. He said, oh, it's probably the condensation from the car. So I go to the Mercedes place. I shouldn't say what kind of car I have. Anyway, I go to the Mercedes place, and they said, well, maybe it is.
You're already making
you know, condensation.
Me laugh, Esther Perlman.
And so then, that's going on for 4 weeks. So and then I was turning around on the side of the car. It's dark in there, can't see anything. So I could feel dripping on my head. And I said, Marty, it's dripping on my head. It can't be the car. So then it's okay, we'll call the leak people, the plumber. And sure enough, it had leaked. And, oh, and then also when I noticed when I was dusting, the water was dripping from the wall, you know, making spots. So then he believed me. So we moved out for 3 days because they had to take the carpet out and all the furniture out of the living room and do the wall and the part of the window, take the window, the glass out. And it went to our neighbor's place, and they said, well, we can either go to their, through our bathroom, or we can go through this wall so that we can get into their closet. So, oh, you know, we're going to go through their closet because I don't want to break up our kids' bathroom. So then... what happened? Then the girl's renting the house. So she says, well, I don't want anyone over there. And I said, well, we have to get that done. And my husband says, well, she'll wait there for the men to come to your closet. So she had her girlfriend move her jewelry out of there so that they wouldn't take anything. So I'm sitting there on her nice table, her nice couch, her bedroom, and watching. I didn't watch them because I believe them, you know, that they're not going to steal. And she already her girlfriend already took the jewelry out. So that was just one incident of this big aggravation with the trees. So, but is it worth having the trees and no air conditioning? I didn't have to turn. I saved the money on the air conditioner, but the plumbing, you know, was because it's in the house, then it's covered.
Well, that's good. So you save the trees and you save the plumbing. So let me ask you this, Esther Perlman. Looking at the bright side mostly, I can see that you do from our conversation, but you're also a painter and an artist. So which do you like better, painting or writing books?
Well, when I used to wake up in the middle of the night and paint, I'd get paint all over the floor. So I started this washi tapes, which is very neat. And I'm in a collage group, and they have one collage through the whole globe. Whoever does collage could join this collage group. And when they used to have nice meetings and the art shows and everything. And so I do love doing art. And every time that a weird situation happens to me that I can laugh about, then I write. And then when Marty's watching something that we both like, I can hear it, and then I could do my art. I do a lot of drawings, and then I do the washi tapes, where you just cut the real beautiful tapes, and then include that in your drawing, and then I enter it for shows. And so I have been doing the washi tapes for like 2 years. I don't know if you got that article that was written about me. Erwin might have sent it to you. But so I had 11 pictures over this cafe, and then I also was helping out. I belonged to the Pacific Palisade Art Association. So I was getting speakers for them for the last 5 years. And so they had a photographer take pictures of my artwork at that cafe, and then said I, you know, had done 10 books. And then that was a nice article. So I love both. And then when I was a kid, because I have dyslexia and I had, I had a hard time learning things. And so I would draw while the teacher was talking, and then I would turn around to the kids and show them my drawings of the teacher. So that wasn't very good. But then, the teacher told me to go to the principal. So I always did art. And I always wanted to major in art. My husband said, no, you can't major in art. You don't make any money out of art. So I always had art in the background. I wanted to be a therapist. probably laughed through the whole time. No, But I, my son, who's hyperactive, and I used to take him to therapy. And when I took a class in experimental psych, the teacher said that a lot of times, this was many years ago, but the teacher said that in hospitals they used to give sugar for reward for kids in mental hospitals. And I had read that book, Why Your Child is Hyperactive, you know, taking all that artificial stuff out of their diets and giving them whole foods and stuff. So I did that. I took all that stuff out of the house, and then he'd go and eat other stuff at somebody else's house. But so then I dropped out of that experimental class, and that's when I knew I wasn't going to be a psychologist. And so I majored in radio, TV, film. And so I love, you know, plays and movies and stuff. But nowadays, all those movies that they're playing, oh, my God, they're so awful. And all those old movies are so great. And I love Neil Simon and Woody Allen and everything. And so I like, for therapeutic, I like to make myself laugh and everybody else, anybody that's listening. But, you know, it's so rewarding.
Oh, my gosh. We were at a play where it was just in L.A. there, and one of the theaters. And it was a one-man play. And we thought, oh, I don't know. It was my father's Jewish and my mother's Italian.
Oh, wow. How great.
And so we drove up there to see it. And we were laughing so hard, harder than anybody else in the audience. We thought, well, they're going to think we're crazy. But we could relate to everything he was saying, you know.
I know. When did you see that play?
Oh, it's been a few years now, but yeah. It was something that stood out in our minds, because I thought, how could this guy pull off a one-man play and keep the attention of the audience? He was excellent. I mean, just excellent. And we laughed so hard in that play. I'm not kidding, because we could relate to, you know, the way the Jews and the Italians are very similar, you know, and it was just so funny. I mean, you know, how your mother reacts and how the father reacts and to the son, and oh, it was really funny. Then we went to Robert De Niro's restaurant for dinner.
Oh, what
and then
was
we
that
were,
like?
Oh, it was wonderful. We had a really great time. We ate outside on the patio, and it was summertime. And again, we were laughing so hard, we're like, people must think we're drunk. But
oh, great.
But, you know, that's just the way we are. We laugh at each other. We laugh at ourselves. We laugh at everybody and everything. Because if you don't laugh, you'll be crying all the time.
I know. I'm laughing with tears in my eyes. But we went to see that play with a one-woman show where she was Jackie. It was called Jackie Onassis, and she's doing a one-woman show and how she died. You know, she's drinking and taking drugs. She didn't know whether to kill herself. And I wasn't laughing, but what was interesting is when she was in the boat with Onassis. And he was calling her a drunken BIS, you know, bitch. And she jumps out of the boat without any clothes on and no jewelry and goes, and that's how it ended.
Well, you know what? I mean, come on. If you were married to the gorgeous John F. Kennedy and then you ended up being married to him, I mean, he'd probably jump off the boat, too.
Well, he was such a rat, you know, because he loved Mary Callas. He married her for her prestige and everything.
Yeah,
and
it's
so,
true. He'd probably jump off the boat, too.
But she wrote, you know, in her journal all this stuff, so that's been a lot of years. It's 50 years or something, was it? So I guess that's how they wrote the play, but you'd have to get that okay from them, you know, the whoever's left.
That's
Carolyn,
funny,
I guess.
That's a funny ending, though. Seriously, I'm sure a lot of women would like to jump off boats sometimes.
I know, yeah. Well, you have to make sure you know how to swim.
Yeah, you have to have a lifesaver down there.
Yes.
Help, help.
Well, find
you
got to
have a
lifesaver.
Plan. Yeah, you just don't jump. You have to have a plan, right?
I have a lifeguard nearby that's cute.
Good looking lifeguard.
Yeah, well,
thank you.
Yes, huh?
So when you were younger, what did you have a nickname, and were you always funny?
Well, this is not really my Esther is not really my real name. Mother and father had an argument. My mother wanted to name it after her mother's name, and my father wanted to name me after his mother's name. And so right away I started, and then I was a breech baby. No wonder I was so Mishigas. I don't know if you know that word. But, so my real name is Mildred. And so my middle name is Esther, but they've always called me Esther to make my dad feel good. Well, they had this thing called Millie the Timekeeper, which didn't sound too good. Oh, Mildred Pierce, that was good. Did you see that movie?
A great movie. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I watch all the old classics. I love them. I got my kids hooked on those.
Well, I do. I love, because my husband watched Nazi movies, and I watch, happy movies or just love those wonderful stories that, William Holden and Jennifer Jones and all those great stars. And then I like Seinfeld and, the comedy shows. And but I try not to watch it during the daytime so, I can clean the house.
And also, you've written, 11 books, and Bright Side Mostly is your latest book, but you also wrote a successful poem, It's Not Easy Being a Woman. Are you going to write a fourth series on that one?
Maybe. I have a book, but right now there's a Soaring Solo show where you can do a one-woman show. And I was thinking I would, because I have another book complete, stories again, and I would just read the stories and stuff. So what they're doing on that is virtual as well as in person. I think it's called a Frizzy Theater in Hollywood or something, Frizzled or something. Anyway, but I know it's easier for me just to give the book and my pictures to Robin Quinn, my editor, and say, here, and I'll be done with it. But to actually do a one-woman show is a big job. But now, like she said, Robin said, you can do it on virtually. You can split your screen and then read it as though I was a newscaster, except not giggle. I mean, if I was, happy, I could have funny stories. But of course, you don't get the reaction, right? That's real important.
Right. Yeah,
you don't
I think it's real
the
important.
The feeling that somebody really enjoyed it or thought you're talking to a blank screen, I guess. But unless you're doing it in person. But, that's on my mind. I haven't decided which thing is best to do, get dressed up and put makeup on, and then really know the stories. But it's true. You really need, you're a great audience. You laugh at everything. Rose, you're if I could bring you on set.
I can laugh for you, yes.
Yes, I do. Yes, that would be great.
Well, I love being around positive people and people who are busy, and no matter what's happening around them in the world, you can kind of block it out and just keep doing something creative for yourself and for your family and for, the world if you want, because life is all about, keeping going, keeping your mind going, keeping active and not wasting it, right? I mean, why waste life? You know, it's so beautiful, and there's so many things to learn and research and do. We can never do them in a lifetime, so why not do as much as you enjoy doing instead
of complaining?
Yeah, even
watching my kitchen. Yeah, when I saw two birds, and I was wondering how are they going to, you know, have sex. I was watching them. And, of course, it was on a building. I don't know how. And then I saw them, you know, kissing each other. And I was trying to figure out what's going to go on. But, they moved. So, and then I had this one, a bougainvillea in my patio. And then I planted some peas and a few different flower things. And I was watching them grow. And then I noticed that I was watching the birds eating my peas. And I went, well, now which more important, watching the birds or eating my peas? And I thought, well, I'll just watch the birds. But too bad I didn't have the iPhone with me. I could have taken pictures of the birds eating the peas. But, and then, that's the thing. So I was debating on whether to trim that bougainvillea or just let it go, and then the birds can be in, under the shade. And so I do have a tree man coming today, and he's going to cut so I can see out the window. So what's more important? I can see the window that has this enormous tree in my alley that's 30 feet higher than the electric wires. And I called up the city about that tree in my, because I can't see it very well through my window because the bougainvillea is in front of the avocado tree, and it doesn't give avocados either. And I used to have a gardener trim that tree, you know, once a year for 10 years. And then I called the city, and they said, well, find out whose the tree belonged to. So it's in between two condos, and I called one, and they said, it's not my tree. And the other one wasn't there. The manager wasn't there. And so, and then I was saw some tree people trimming the trees, going back to the tree story. But, and he says, well, that's not on our list. That's not on our list. And so, if that tree, if it gets windy and it rains hard, that tree is going to mess up all those wires and all that electricity that's going. Because they originally, when we moved here, they were going to do underground electricity, which they never did. So now there's two condos. There's five condos in this one building that decided they're going to put five condos where the garage was. And so all that electricity is going to be on my wires. So that's
another thing that you should do is take a picture and then write to your city council or supervisors, who's ever involved, or the the electric company, whoever, telephone company, whoever's involved, and say, you know, this is, I'm informing you now that this is a hazard if such and such and such should happen. And, you know, because you people don't want to come out here and determine who's responsible for this. So, you know, I'm letting you know that I'm going to hold you responsible if you don't take care of this issue.
I know. Well, you know, I did call the city, and they said, well, whose ever tree it is. And then I called them, when knocked on the door at the manager, and they said, the manager's not here. And then I actually did talk to somebody who says, well, we can't do anything about it. So, you know, nobody wants to spend the money, but you're absolutely right. It's a hazard.
I would say it is your responsibility, because that's what we pay you to do, to make sure we're safe. Because look at Northern California. It's all burning up because we have a governor who didn't handle all that situation, you know, where it could catch on fire. And, you know, and it happened before, you know, this even occurred again. So, I mean, we, you know, people in public office don't want to be bothered with us because they see us as complainers, and they don't have time for that.
I know. Well, let them live over here and see how they like it. But I'm sure they have underground. But you know about the electromagnetic field.
They have better things to do.
Yes, they have better things to do. But I don't know what it is. But the thing is, have you heard about all this electromagnetic field? Have you been involved with that?
The electromagnetic fields, where at? All
yes.
over the earth?
Yes. Yes, it's all over. They want. I was looking on Google, and I
bought this. We are actually held hostage by electromagnetic waves and radiation, and yes, we are.
And so I bought one of these little necklaces that you have to, you know, wear every day, and then you every once a week you look at it 12 inches away from you and then feel the energy going to it and then put it around your neck. And then when you're walking around, it's not supposed to be bothering you, the electromagnetic field. And then you're supposed to unplug everything, which is practically impossible to unplug everything every night. And then what other...
Well, I'm afraid
thing.
That the artificial intelligence is not so intelligent because it's killing humanity.
Yeah, so they're, if they have 5G now, it's going to be 6G later.
Oh, they aren't done. They aren't done. You know, I mean, seriously, man destroying the planet and destroying human beings on top of
it. Yeah, but did you buy any crystals and put them around? So that's supposed to help with electromagnetic.
I have everything. I have PWRs on all my computers, my phones, to keep these guys from zapping us.
What is a PDR?
I do my best.
What is that?
You order them online. I will send you that information. You order them online. You put them on your cell phones. You put them on your computers, your microwaves, and it helps reduce the radiation that they are trying to kill us with.
Oh, did you hear that you can buy a blanket and also you can cover yourself up with when you're sleeping and then the cover for your face?
Sorry, I don't even want to wear a mask.
And then you don't have to have your hair done anymore. Just wear the mask and the hat.
This is so Orwellian and crazy. It's just gone insane. Oh my God.
Well, did you buy one of those,
dream.
Those little holders that you can go into every room to see how much magnetic field you're being near?
Not
and
yet.
I have one of those. So... My girlfriend, she's very serious. So a landline is better than the phone that you carry around the house with because the battery is right next to
your... Don't say that too loud or next to the landlines. Don't tell them out there in the world of artificial intelligence. Not that they can't hear everything we're saying, right? But, gee, it's
so
true.
That's
I have to
does.
Close. I have to close the show, but it has been so much fun talking to you. I love your book,
you,
the
Rose.
Title of your book, Looking at the Bright Side Mostly, and It's Not
I'll
Easy
send
Being
you a, book,
a Woman.
Erwin gives me your address. I'll send you a book for you.
Perfect. And please sign it. I'd love it. I'd love to read it. And
I saw
it
a couple years ago, I think, didn't I, at the book meeting?
Yeah, at the club, yeah, at the book club.
Thank
yeah, the
you,
Southern
Rose.
California
You're
Book
delight.
Club is so fantastic. You are a delight, Esther Perlman, and I hope to talk to you again soon. And keep up the good work, and God bless you.
Thank you. Bye, dear.
Bye-bye. And Esther Perlman has left the building, and what a fun person to talk to. What a great personality, a dynamic woman, Esther Perlman. She balances her family and her art and her paintings and her poetry and her public speaking and her books, and she just doesn't waste a moment. So be sure to get her book on Amazon.com or any one of her 11 books are great. Looking at the Bright Side Mostly and It's Not Easy Being a Woman, the two latest. So on that note, please listen in again to Colombo Chronicles next Wednesday when we'll have another dynamic guest, author, and an expert. And you can always come back to blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles because most shows are archived for your listening convenience. And you can just choose one and click it on. So God bless you and stay safe. And remember, injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me. But together we can make a positive difference. Remember, you are never alone when you tune in to Colombo Chronicles Live.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.